17.
In my teens, I thought I had friends. The older I grew, the more the definition of friend changed. Many of those friends became true friends, and others became old friends. Some tilted back and forth between the two.
Charles was debating saying forget it and shooing them away when one of his hands touched a pocket holding the things he whittled. They weren't extravagant, just simple wooden arrowheads and a cube or two for the most part. One was a carving he'd tried for a Santa Claus but ended up with a crude face with a long beard after a piece of the hat chipped off, which led him to removing the hair altogether in favor of a smooth, bald head. This piece was the first one he pulled out of his pocket and held out in his hand. He felt, more than saw, Red pluck it from his hand and turned to leave.
"What the fuck is this shit, old man?"
As soon as he finished his question, he started glowing red. While he was glowing, Charles managed to close his inventory screen. By the time Red Baron finished whatever was going on, he was bald, with a foot-long white beard.
"Damn it! The old man cursed me!"
And his beard flashed red and grew another foot in length. Charles was completely surprised this happened.
"I thought it was just a carving."
As Red cursed and fought with the beard, the other kids laughed. Even the tentacled woman, whatever her name was, made a fake beard from tentacles in mockery. Charles took that moment they were focused on Red Baron to fish out the other carvings from his pocket. When the beard excitement died down to chuckles, the others looked at the offerings in his hands cautiously.
"Honored elder,"
Python Mike began, clearly apprehensive about taking a gift. Too much for men to handle, though, didn't have those doubts and grabbed with her gauntleted fist a cube right away.
"Huh, an accessory. Whittled cube. +3 to endurance, strength, and +50 physical defense," she whispered breathlessly.
"So what?"
Mike wasn't impressed.
"There are no level restrictions."
That got his attention.
"What? All accessories have a level 100 restriction? Let me see that."
"No way. Get your own."
She pulled it away as he reached for it. On the far end of the yard, Charles heard Red Baron whoop loudly. His excited voice rang out,
Wow! This thing gives me a free gift every day. It's like a gotcha machine that doesn't cost anything."
The twins ignored the antics as they reached for arrowheads. Charles took that moment to do something he'd been meaning to do for a couple days. Mike was too focused on these women to ever notice a real one. Charles felt it was his duty to do the young man a favor.
"You ladies know Mike has a brother, right?"
The twins' curious looks were exactly what he expected.
"He'd probably love it if you found him. One goes west and the other goes east. I'm sure you could do it."
Both women's eyes glazed over as they looked at something.
Seems I made it a quest."
He turned to Titha last, ignoring how the twins were whispering harshly between themselves.
"Master, it looks like you don't have any more carvings," the beastkin pitifully complained.
"That's okay. I have something just for you. If you take a look inside, there's something I'd like you to take care of."
Charles motioned inside. Red and Mike both immediately stopped what they were doing and looked at him sharply.
"Oh, I guess I could have worded that better."
He was too old to care about that kind of embarrassment, though. Instead, Charles ignored the two men and looked on the other side of the clearing where the twins had engaged in a furious archery contest, both fuming. Everyone else followed his look, and for some reason closely related to idiocy, Python Mike thought to say something.
Ladies,
he began. Both turned towards him and simultaneously shouted, "Shut up!" Emotionally beaten, Mike wisely withdrew.
"Good. He's learning."
A squeal from inside the cabin drew his attention, but he knew it was only Titha's discovery of the body.
"Hopefully she'll bury it like I want her to."
Mike was engrossed in watching the ladies argue from afar, and Red Baron seemed to be wandering around the tree line, looking up into them at something or other, leaving...
"Allwater? Was that her name?"
Charles patted his pockets but was out of carvings. He wasn't sure when that happened, as he thought he had more in his hands earlier.
Must have dropped them. I seem to be out of trinkets.
That's okay, handsome,
the woman purred as she rubbed a tentacle slowly up the side of his face. Charles, though, shuddered and slapped it away.
She walks on those. It's like putting a foot on my face. I'm too old for all that mess.
He grunted in response and turned to go inside the cabin when the yell of two women stopped him.
Yes! No!
Something apparently got decided as they raced over to where Python Mike was failing at his attempt to communicate with too much for men to handle.
Mike, we talked and...
one twin began.
We're leaving your ass. We're off to search for your brother to give him some of this goodness,
the other finished while rubbing her hands down the sides of her body.
Bitch, I won. I should have told him.
What? Mike stared dumbstruck as the two got into a hair-pulling shouting match that quickly turned into a scrap on the ground. Charles found them to be a great distraction for the crowd as he wandered inside. The cool, quiet cabin was almost perfect, except for the cleric trying in vain to lift a dresser from atop a skeleton. Pieces of it fell away each time she got it a foot or so in the air.
Master, what kind of gift is this?
She grunted as she was lifting. For a boxy dresser, it seemed to sag in the middle as she lifted. Charles knew he had to choose his words carefully if he answered. For example, he couldn't come right out and say, "You're the only one stupid enough," or "You weren't doing much else," or even "I ran out of trash in my pockets." No, and he didn't really want to bother either, so instead he went over to the hole and tried to look down into the cellar. Unfortunately, there was nothing to see, as if something was holding a piece of black paper flat against the bottom of the boards.
Huh.
He considered all the things that could crawl up from there, especially in a fantasy game, and decided that it would be one of the first things he should fix.
Might not want to sleep in here either until it is.
Soon enough, Python Mike came in, moping like a child.
Honored Elder, you said you had a reward.
Charles knew he was out of trinkets. He also knew that he didn't want to ask why the young man was sad. So instead, he pointed at the hole and said,
"Quit your yammering and either fix that or go see what's down there. Quietly, in case you wake something up."
The orders seemed to generate a quest and took Mike's attention for a long moment before he shook his head and wiped his hand in front of his face like he had cleared a screen.
"No, sir, I'm sorry. I just don't feel up to it,"
Mike half mumbled, followed by a rather pathetic sigh. Charles watched and knew for a fact that if this was one of his grandkids, he'd have a good few words with him. But he wasn't, so Charles just couldn't muster caring too much. Instead, he peered down at the floor and considered what he would need to fix it.
"I should have just bought some wood boards back at the village instead of thinking to do it by hand."
Mike had started talking some, probably whining about the twins leaving, while Charles thought more.
"It looks like I'll need about 14 boards to replace the whole floor, but better get 20, just to be safe."
He nodded to himself.
20 seems just right.
For whatever reason, Mike had asked a question and assumed that the answer was Charles nodding yes. In an unexpected display of emotions, he spoke loudly,
"Honored Elder, you're so right. I was stupid not to see it before now. My brother doesn't even play, so they must have been caught by some spell. Thank you so much. I'll be back as soon as I rescue them."
Before Charles could say, "Don't bother," the man was gone. Charles just shrugged and started counting how many nails he might need.